Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay CSD. At this time, I'd like to have a roll call, please.
President Steele.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
I am here.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon. Director Tatro.
Here.
Excellent. Thank you very much. At this time, we'll open up for public comment. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. There is no public in the audience, so we'll close public comment. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to our legal counsel.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. The board is now adjourning in a closed session regarding action item D1. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. I'd like to return us to open session. Turn this over to counsel, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. The board is reconvened from closed session regarding action item D1. The entire board was present during the entire closed session. At this time, there is no reportable action. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to adjourn the meeting. Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay CSD. At this time, I'd like to open our meeting, and if you could all rise and follow Ray Tatro in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like to open up our public comments at this I'd like to turn it over to staff for roll call, please.
President Steele.
Present.
Vice President Graves.
I'm here.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon. Present. Director Tatro.
Here.
All right, good. We're all here tonight. All right, let's see. I'd like to open up public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a 3-minute time limit. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Would anybody like to come up for public comment? All right, it's time I'm going to close public comment. I'd like to turn it over to staff.
We have no presentations this evening, Mr. President.
All right, thank you. Any director's comments?
Yeah, I went to a few meetings. Is this the time for that?
Why not, Chef?
Okay. Contra Costa Fire District has accepted the $7.8 million grant that was given to them with several challenges. The budget they approved included the grant. The challenges are that the grant it can only be satisfied if they are at the same staffing model that they were at when they applied for the grant, which of course they're not. So they had 27 places that they eliminated through the cutbacks, but only 17 firefighters. The rest of those spots were taken care of through overtime. They have 7 of their firefighters that have already gotten other jobs in other districts, so they have a challenge of getting back to, of course, the 7 best, the ten that they need, plus they need to find 7 more so they can be in compliance with this grant, because they accept money from the grant and are not in compliance, and they have to pay the grant back. So they have a challenge in front of them, and they're going to be continuing to work on a staffing model to do that. With that grant, they're reopening 2 stations. They're reopening Station 94, which is the Knightson station, which gives some relief to Bethel Island, whose response times went up to over 12 minutes. And Station 54 in downtown Brentwood is going to reopen. The staffing model that they need to achieve is 51 firefighters. That's what they had when they 51 firefighter slots. They have to cover 51 slots. Interesting. Another topic that came up, and it came through a brown table that we had. We had a workshop environment a couple of meetings ago, and comments from the public were made, and one of them was that they should eliminate their district offices in downtown Brentwood because they pay relatively high rent down there for those offices. And an interesting and actually option that I'm in favor of would be to move the district offices into our station here in town that is vacant, convert most of that to offices, because that would put the battalion chief right in our backyard. He'd be here all the time. It'd give us an additional battalion chief, and you know, firefighters are in and out of there. We would have more of a presence with our firefighters. Don't know if it's going to happen. I tend to think if the board maintains its same complexion it has now, that it won't happen, because Brentwood doesn't like to let go of anything. But it was an interesting option that came up during that Contra Costa Aviation Advisory Committee meeting. Nothing extremely well, I take that back. They have some grants coming in to do some runway work here at Byron, and they want to do that so they can try to bring in more clientele. And when they do that, that should bring in more business and more money to East County, and hopefully we can work on some road improvements in that type of thing with the money. So they continue with the new hangar and with the new jet center out there, they continue to try to increase visibility and increase services at the Byron Airport, which will be good for East County in the long run. And that's all that I have.
Director Madison, do you have anything?
I do not.
Okay. I attended the Byron Union School District board meeting on the 6th of September. They've just completed their STAR testing, which is a measurement of how the students are doing overall compared to the state. It was excellent. The students appear to be more than above average, most of them. It was across the board, so they're getting some great improvements. They showed a trending over time the last 5 years, and the last couple of years have been some nice bumps. So above average for our kids. They're working on civility programs right now. I guess there's still bully issues, and they're working with the teachers to have that implemented. Sounds like the teachers are pretty stressed out. The kids are stressed out with the economy the way it is. So the teachers are giving it all, but they're having to deal with a major social issue with some of the children acting out because of the home life. They did go over some budget things. The budget's balanced right now. It looks like at the end they've got plenty of money right now, but this fall in November, there's going to be two propositions on the ballot, and I don't have those numbers in front of me. One is a Jerry Brown initiative, and another initiative from another a party. Those are to help fund the students through a tax base. If those don't go through, it appears that the school district, the state's school districts are going to be strapped for major amounts of cash, and it could change the way school even is done in California. So get informed on those propositions and take care of the kids. Anyway, that's what I have tonight, and I'll close this section now. Consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Any public comment? Questions? All right, at this time, I'd like to make you guys made a motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. All right, new business, please. Staff.
Getting there. As we roll out our new paperless agendas, I'm finding myself reverting back to the paper for the time for a moment here. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. The first item before you this evening is to approve the purchase of one Aeromod belt press for the biosolids project that is currently underway. At the last meeting, you recall, you approved the you approved a change order for the final pad for that project. The project is included in the capital finance project listing and schedule. This is a project that started about a year ago. We've already purchased one belt press. The master plan calls for two. And so the recommendation this evening is to purchase a second belt press. I'd like to make a note that the manufacturer, the vendor, is maintaining their pricing on the original belt press that we purchased on this belt press. so there's no cost increase at all. We're requesting the issuance of a purchase order for $241,000plus tax, if you will, for approximately $18,000. Oh, no, I'm sorry, the $241,000 does include the $18,000. So, and with that, if you have any questions, Virgil's in the audience and he can answer any questions, and I'm available as well.
No questions?
None for me.
All right. Make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we...
Public comment, please. Okay, no public comment. Anyone want to make a motion?
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the purchase of the AutoMod Belt Press for Biosolids Productive Project at $241,000.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the board, the next item before you is a related item to the first. This purchase is significant in dollars and significant as well in its need. If you recall, the master plan talked about the two solar dryers that we have currently in place. And when we originally purchased them, it was recommended that we acquire four of them. The board at the time held off because they wanted to make sure that the technology worked. It was relatively new in the United States. And since that time, it's been proven. Not only do we use it, but there's a number of other wastewater facilities that use it throughout the region and throughout the country. This acquisition would acquire the purchase of the parts, if you will, the components to build the remaining two solar dryers from Parkson Corporation. Once they arrive approximately 9 months from the date of order, we would then have a different vendor install them and basically erect them, put them together. They're similar in nature to what we already have. The pads that have been built and the new pad that just broke ground, I think, today, Virgil?
That's correct.
So that pad broke ground today, and those are built to conform to this standard. The amount is $1.1 million plus tax of approximately $90,000, so it's just under $1.2 million for the purchase of the two solar dryers. If you have any questions, I'm be able to answer any of them.
Any comments? Any questions? Okay. Any public comment? Or Virgil, why don't you clarify for a second, please? Excuse me.
I would just like to explain that this is the purchase of two buildings to go over. It is not the cost of the erection of that building nor the electrical. The vendor, Parkson Engineering out of Florida, does have a recommendation of a builder to put those components together. They give us a price on that, but we feel that we may be able to do it less expensively if we were to utilize previous builder who built our two, but we can't get quotes from them yet because what we don't have is all the components list. We will get that when we give the purchase order to Parkson Engineering. They have to submit to the district a submittal plan detailing what components they're using, stainless, galvanized, how many plastic panels, so forth, how many nuts and bolts. That's a material list that then we can go to the contractors, a couple of them, and get some quotes back to put it together. And we have a lot of time yet to do that. So I just want to make sure you're aware of that. When it comes before the 9 months is up, when they order it, some of this technology has to come from Germany. Most of it is coming from the U.S. When it gets here, by then, we will have brought to you back a quote to put it together, mm-hmm. to assemble it and put it together. This price, I got to tell you, is very good. The reason they're giving it to Discovery Bay is obviously we were one of the first in the U.S. to do this, and it was a risk factor at our end, but we felt very good about it. and has actually exceeded our expectations. But because of that being in the U.S., we have had a lot of tours. And I think many of you sitting up here today know about the tours we have had that come in from various other states. Merced is now just completing their sixth solar building there for the city of Merced. They came up here, did some tours. They've actually come up here a few times. There have been a few other cities from other states that have come here to do the same as well. But Parkson wanted to thank us, so by lowering the price, that's what they was their way of thanking us for helping them sell units throughout other municipalities. Any other questions?
I don't have the capital budget for me. What was the total that was set up in our budget for this project?
For some reason, I want to say 4.2, but I could be off base on that there, Mr. Simon.
That's a build-up.
I think we have 3.7 or 4.7. Okay, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. All right, any public comment, please?
She's going to get that number for you.
Oh, okay.
Director Simon.
Let's wait for that number.
Half of the total project was. Total spend.
I think Rick maybe can answer a question for our agenda. The reason I'm asking this, I think it was like 4.2 million, if I remember right.
Yes.
But how much of it did we figure for the building? The building for putting this whole thing together, that's my question. We have no idea what this is going to cost. How do we come up with the number?
The construction cost.
It was included in the engineer's estimate. It was developed as part of the master plan, the original estimate.
How did he give us the construction cost?
We've already built them.
We don't have
it. Well,
but
it doesn't mean that's going to be what it is now.
It's an estimate.
What they've done is they've taken some of the previous things done in California, for example, Merced, Roseville, or Lincoln.
It's not if I made any reference.
Are we going to be within budget is what I'm asking.
Yes, that's
probably the question I'm asking.
The budgeted number for this project is $4.651 million.
Okay. That's what I want to know. Thank you.
All right. Any public comment?
Sorry, Dina.
You want to make a motion?
I had it on my desk.
I would make a motion that we would approve the purchase of two thermal system active solar drying system chambers from Parkson Corporation in the amount of $1.1 million plus tax, and authorize the general manager to issue all contract documents and issue a corresponding purchase order.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This next item is more of a cleanup item than anything else. As you know, we generally hire part-time employees through temporary agencies. And when we do that, we pay a premium on the actual dollar rate that we're paying. But it also precludes that person from utilizing any of our equipment in relative terms of vehicles. They can't drive any of our vehicles. And so it came to, we had a problem, not really a problem, but we had a situation this summer where we brought on a temporary employee that was being funded by the Clipper Drive project to work on that project. And we needed someone that could drive one of our vehicles, so we had to hire that person on a temporary short-term basis throughout the duration of the project. If we would have hired the person with the temp agency, we would have to pay a premium of the dollar amount, plus we would not have been able to let them drive our vehicle. So what I've done is, if you look at the second page of the report, I've created what is referred to as a part-time seasonal temporary position. It's a position that is a non-benefited position. It is generally
of a short duration or a seasonal or a temporary duration. It allows staff the ability to be a little bit more flexible when we need to bring somebody on. And so we went ahead and brought this person on board to work with that project. And we also did that, if you recall, when we had one of our former employees went out on a workers' comp claim and we hired someone to backfill that position. He had to drive a vehicle because of the nature of his job. And so we brought him on, and we didn't really have a classification for it. So this is really just more of a cleanup than anything else. It provides an opportunity so that we know that we have the ability to do this. If it's necessary to do so, we would still use a temp agency routinely for many cases, for many types of positions, and both internal inside the buildings and outside in the field. But when there are times when we need to hire, actually have the district hire an employee. The downside to that is that we would pay workers' comp in the event of an injury, and we do pay a little bit of payroll taxes, but those taxes would be absorbed by the additional cost you'd be paying to the temp agency for the premium on the hourly rate. I'm just looking for the board to amend the position schedule that was adopted in this year's annual budget to include the position of part-time seasonal temporary. And I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Rick, would you bring somebody in on a part-time basis? I'm assuming this is short-term notice. I mean, this would be something comes up and you need it. What do you do about driver's license check, background, or drug testing?
It's a short-term, we only do drug testing for, we only have one position that requires drug testing, and that is our one DOT driver. It's our class one driver. He's our water services technician, Aaron Goldsworthy, who you all know. He's required to be drug tested quarterly. So that program is being implemented now at this point. We're hoping to work with Bernie and Violi to be able to use their resources to be able to do that. We had a CHP, California Highway Patrol, came in and did their inspection. It was one of their things, a concern that they had, that we did not do drug testing for our DOT employee, and so we need to get that implemented in the next 30 to 60 days, and that's taking place right now. With respect to those other things, we generally, in the case with Aaron, he was a known commodity. We brought him on, and there was a relationship that already existed. With the person that's out there now, we brought him in through a temporary agency and ended up hiring him out of the temp agency. So the temp agency in that case would have done all of the background legwork on that. With respect to a drug test, it would not be necessary for that type of a position to do so.
Criminal background.
It's not.
What about a driver's license check? Are you going to put
it? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we do. We do conduct DMV pull notices on every employee. Every employee that drives a district vehicle, we get regular DMV pull notices.
I'm just kind of curious why we don't drug test somebody who's going to be driving one of our cars with our plates on the back of it. Because it just doesn't seem like every place I know that hires anybody that drives a car is drug test.
You have limitations under state law due to rights of privacy. So you have two situations. One is where the state law requires drug testing, and then you have those positions that warrant that. The latter part is a gray area and fraught with litigation.
If we suspect, in fact, I attended a workshop on this 2 weeks ago. If we suspect an employee of using illegal drugs or alcohol on the job, we can then require them. If we don't have the suspicion, then I think what Dan is saying is accurate.
And you can, in the event of an accident, at that point require an immediate drug test.
What about criminal background screening? Does that happen?
We don't do criminal background screening.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
All right.
You did it, that you're, when I was hired, I know that the recruiting firm did one on me. Well, so in that case.
I think that's for another meeting, but. yeah. Okay.
The discussion of that subject?
The subject of new hire.
Yeah. No, not of you.
Oh, I thought of you.
It's not your, it's not something much. Go ahead. You have anything to say?
No, I do not.
Any public comment, please? Anybody want to make a motion?
Yeah, should we amend the town of Discovery Bay Community Services District position schedule?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. All right, Bernie, you're up.
Thank you. Woo. Well, we continue with our ongoing working safety record with over 1,100 days as we speak today. Last month, we did some additional training. Joe, our maintenance lead, sent him to Milwaukee for a planning schedule training day to help hopefully streamline our scheduling and planning of our maintenance. We got a better record system now. Really nice, and we can keep better tabs and look at equipment as we need to. Young, our IT tech, we sent him to a 4-week training course and on PLC training, mainly on Allen Bradley, so we can have more in-house training to work on stuff in-house, so we don't depend on outside contractors. And we had an outside vendor come in and do some seal pump and bearing training on pumps, so we're operators are more familiar how to maintain and replace bearings, more stuff that we can do in-house, so we'll be a little more self-sufficient. The big thing on the water service last month is that, as you notice out here, your tank isn't running water all the time. We replaced 3 valves on the filter C. One of them was pretty bad corroded, but you have noticed since that repair, you don't hear the water running no more, so that issue has been addressed. Last month, we did have 56 brown water calls. We did 6 hydrant flushing. Majority of the calls were at residents' homes due to their not flushing their hot water tank when needed to be. We kind of get this every August. We get a high volume of brown water calls and filters in our home. We go to them, explain how to do it, show them how to do it, and the issue seems to go away. On our routine samples, all negative. Wastewater side, we had some influent pump at our wastewater plant 1 where all the flow comes in. One of our pumps went down. We had to pull the pump, send it out for repair. We actually got that pump back yesterday, so we do have the pump back now as a spare. We had to replace a motor mount on one of the rotors at plant 2. The whole motor mount had broke, so we had to do some repairs on it. All 15 lift stations are running, all pumps are running, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. Last month we'd flushed a little over almost 9,000 feet of sewer, over 12,000 for the year, 18% completed, inspected 18 manholes. We installed some new sensors at the lake lift station for level control. On our wastewater lab, we're doing very well, as you can see in our longest numbers. Well below our permit limits. Did over 270 hours of work orders completed and had 14 routine call outs. Any questions, concerns?
Good report. Full strength, Phil?
Yes.
Wait for that one. Hey, Bernie, so looking at the flush sewer lines. Are you on a plan? Is it a 4-year plan?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we do 25% of the system every year, which is about 66,000 mm-hmm. feet we're doing.
Where are we at right now? What part of the town?
We're up in the Beaver Lane mm-hmm. area, mm-hmm. and working this way down.
The really old stuff.
Really old stuff.
Do a new
so we have to hit 2 or 3 times. We found some buildup that I showed you before, the grease sure. buildup. And one of the things we're also doing, we're doing some trials on some of the lift stations. We're putting some type of micro bug degreaser in it to help reduce the buildup in the sewer lines. And that's a a pilot program with working with a vendor.
Did we replace a lot of line on Beaver, didn't we? Didn't we have leaks there last year?
Water.
Those water?
No. We replaced about 500 feet of sewer main in Beaver Lane. There are many others. The older part of town has clay pipe.
Yeah.
And the clay pipe, we were testing a new vac truck. And that's when we brought back a couple of sections of clay pipe, and then we had a problem that we had to go in there and fix automatically.
But that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, about 3 years ago.
Yeah, we do continue to have water issues on Beaver, but on the water side of the house.
Madison.
Thank you, President Steele. I think last week we had a SCADA issue. At 5:30 in the morning, what did we figure out about that?
Well, what happened was that Willow was our lead plant, Newport is the backup plant, and we had a communication issue at Newport, which caused, what we found was that the communication wasn't, it was telling the pumps that the tank was empty, even though we had 18 foot of water in it, so that when the pumps get a signal to run, they come on. When it sees a signal that the pump, the tanks are empty, it doesn't come on. So it was getting a communication saying the tanks are empty, so the pumps wouldn't kick on, which meant left Willow as the lead plant for the majority of the town. And when high demand hit Friday morning, it brought it down pretty quickly. And then when it switched over to Newport, all we had was one jockey pump, and it was just not enough there to keep it up. We responded, had it back up within less than 15 minutes. We were back up to normal pressure. And the issue's been resolved, but we did have to order some new module for that unit.
Some redundancy, are we going to add any?
Well, we got to add some alarms also so we can get these notifications. We have the notification locally at the plant, but it doesn't get called to the SCADA system, so we got to add that.
We're designing that in, right?
Yep.
Okay, excellent.
Value to community. I would just like to say, I think having something like that back up and running in 15 minutes is pretty good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I was able to, operator called me because he knew he wasn't going to make it. I'm living local. I was over here within 12 minutes.
And then back up. I believe Virgil responded at Dark 30 as well. And
he met me over at Newport.
We did receive on that subject not too many phone calls, but we did receive people that sent us from the website inquiries, you know, what happened. And I just to share with you one is, I thought it was pretty humorous that you caught my wife naked in the shower and without any water. So I thought people were very tolerant of it, and we replied that we had a computer issue, and they were all very understanding.
Good job.
Thanks, Bernie. Thank you very much. Manager's reports.
Okay. The only thing I have for you this evening, I have two things. One, I don't know if any of you have been out on Clipper or on Newport the last couple of days, but if you have, you've seen the boom lift out there cutting down or trimming palm trees, and they'll be out there yesterday and today, and I believe they're back on the Clipper project tomorrow morning. At the last meeting, we talked about the board subcommittee appointee listing, and what I've done is I've asked the managers that are responsible for each of their committees to contact their committee, their district, the board members that are on those committees. So, for example, the budget subcommittee of Mark and Ray would be, you know, Dean and myself. And what we thought we would do with the board, with the subcommittee, is meet on right now that committee meets, is convened to meet when we do the budget preparation. And I thought that it would probably be more appropriate if that committee would meet quarterly and we can review what's been taking place quarterly with the quarterly budget. You can see where we're at. If we have an issue, you'll know about it. And so we want to go ahead and get that convened. So we would recommend that the budget subcommittee meet on a quarterly basis. The communications committee, I would suggest that, and as a matter of fact, we met this evening before the board meeting, that we would meet, that committee would meet on an as-needed basis as things come up. And we can drill down a little bit more on the time frame on that one. And that's Kevin and Vice President Graves and Director Madison. The Community Center Subcommittee, I think that's in a holding pattern right now. The Investment Oversight Subcommittee, that would only convene on an as-needed basis, and that committee is President Steele and Director Simon. The Landscaping Subcommittee is Director Simon and Director Tetro, and we're recommending that committee meet quarterly. The Parks and Recreation Subcommittee, mm-hmm. we're recommending that committee meet quarterly as well with Director Madison and Vice President Graves. The Public Financing Authority Subcommittee, that would meet, and that's Kevin, Vice President Graves, and Ray Tetro, and Mark Simon is an alternate to Director Tetro, would meet on an as-needed basis. The last one is the Water and Wastewater Subcommittee with Director Tetro and Vice President Graves, and we meet on a monthly. We are scheduled to meet on a monthly basis. That's our schedule. It doesn't always happen, but that is our schedule. But we do meet regularly. So we will be in contact with each of you. One of us will be in contact with each of you to try and schedule those meetings here in the near future. So, and as we get to the end of our first quarter, July, August, and September, we would be convening, for example, the budget subcommittee probably sometime once we get September closed out at the end of October. So if that sounds reasonable to the board, that's a direction that we think would probably be appropriate from a timing standpoint and ensure that the board is engaged with those subcommittees of which they are appointed to.
I would expect that the as needed would at least meet annually.
More often than not, the Investment Oversight Subcommittee and the Public Financing Authority Subcommittee, definitely an annual meeting. The Communications, I have a feeling, will meet probably more often than quarterly, but
minimum.
It will be probably more as the need arises.
Okay.
And we can schedule to do it on a monthly basis if we want to do that.
So you guys
we'll be talking about that. But if that's okay with the board, we're looking forward to going to that direction.
Council's report, please.
Thank you, President, board members. Just briefly, there was a special meeting tonight at 6 p.m. The board was meeting in closed session regarding action item D1. All five members of the board were present during the entirety of the closed session. There was no reportable action at the close of closed session. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you very much. All right, committee updates. I'm not aware of any.
Actually, the communication subcommittee met
exactly.
just before the meeting. If they would like to give a brief update on that.
30 seconds.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, why don't you do it?
Go ahead, because you have the...
As the board is aware, and if any members of the public have seen the last two editions of my Friday letters, you'll notice that there's a different logo that we've been kind of trying out, if you will. And we've been working with a
graphic designer,
thank you, to give us some options for a new logo and a new town seal. One of each one, there's a slight difference between the two, but the official seal would move away from the seal, the logo that everybody in town uses, the Yacht Harbor, the golf course, the
Chamber,
that pretty much everybody uses, and go to more of a specific one relative to what it is that we do. And so it takes in a lot of the same characteristics and maintains the steamship, for example, in the water. It's very sensitive to the history of the original, the initial logo. So they reviewed some design options for that and made a recommendation, and we'll bring that back to the board at the next meeting.
Got a temporary tattoo of one of those? Or?
If you would like one,
no,
we'll probably get one made.
Thank you.
We'll run your forehead.
All right. Thank you very much for that update. We've had a few correspondence items, public records requests, and future agenda items.
Hi, Warren.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to suggest, we'd like to have a meeting, agenda item, that at a future board meeting, we discuss at a future board meeting, we acknowledge and honor former director Bob Dorn. As you know or maybe not know, Bob was instrumental in the formation of the district. He actually wrote the yeomanship of that document to make us a CSD and did a lot of work for the board for a long time. So I'd like to ask the board members to invite Bob back and thank him and recognize him for his efforts on behalf of the town.
Thank you. Any other items?
I have nothing.
I'm not your time. Any other items?
I'm good.
You're good right now? All right.
Can I ask a question on that last item? Would it be appropriate if I worked with Director Tetro in organizing that?
Yeah, if you could organize that.
The only question I would have, and the research I would like to have done on that, is to see if this has happened prior. Was there already a recognition? There's just a if he's already been recognized for that, then I don't know that. I missed the point of why it needs to be done again at this date. But if it never has been done, then we definitely need to do it.
He's never been recognized for his long-term, work for the town and the fact that he was instrumental in. He was actually on the MAC, and then he was also instrumental in putting together the actual paperwork to make us a town. I mean, the CSD that we are.
I think it's longer. All right. Why don't you guys work together and find out more about that? Sure. That sounds like something we can look into. All right. Any public comments? All right. At this time, I'd like to adjourn the meeting.